You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Welcome to a new week. Final day of spring, in case you were wondering. Welcome to the official celebration of Juneteenth, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. We appreciate you being here. We'll update you on the games that are going on throughout the day and evening in Omaha. But we begin with a rather important story, the future of college athletics. Where have you heard that before? In an extraordinary interview, George Kliavkoff, the new commissioner, well, he's no longer new, he's the commissioner of the Pac-12, talks about the future of the NCAA, and he did the talking with Nicole Arabak, who is, of course, from The Athletic, and nice enough to join us here today. Nicole, thanks so much. Always great to have you on. And a lot of eyebrows were raised in the dissemination of your piece the other day. Good afternoon, and take us through it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I think it's a really interesting time that we're in right now as people are starting to think about, you know, what should this enterprise look like 1 year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. And, you know, we've heard so many different opinions and comments over the last few months that, you know, I think it's honestly worth checking with everyone. And this came up very naturally in my conversation with George Kliavkoff. We're kind of hitting on a bunch of different topics. 1 year anniversary of taking over the Pac-12 is July 1st. And we were talking about football and football's role in governance. And this is something that has been a hot topic. We've heard from Gene Smith. We've heard from Jim Phillips, ACC commissioner, talking about, you know, could you manage football separately from the NCAA, but keep the other sports under that umbrella? That's where the championships are. Football already has important pieces that are out from under that purview anyway, because the CFP and the bowls run the postseason of that sport. So, you know, George Kliavkoff is in that camp as well. You know, he was saying that he thinks there could be and should be one entity that makes rules, enforces rules, and runs the postseason for college football. And, you know, he said, you know, it could be the CFP. There's representation from all 10 FBS leagues in there, or it's a, you know, you create an entity that's similar to that with the 10 leagues in charge of running it. Maybe you have a czar or commissioner type person, but you have this governing body that can maybe move quicker and handle issues that come up that are really only coming up for major college football. And right now, as we've heard from so many different administrators, there are so many schools and that essentially have different business models all under the same tent. And as we've heard about the transformation committee and people looking to tackle those big picture issues in college sports, the question is, who should be grouped together? Who is like resourced, and what makes the most sense? And so, you know, add George Kliavkoff to the group that thinks pulling football out and letting it manage itself is the right way to go. Now, this is something he thinks will be a topic of conversation. Commissioners of all 32 leagues in Division I meet this week in Park City. And there's always an annual CFP-specific meeting tied to these groups because they're all in the same place. So he thinks that this is going to be a topic of conversation of what this could look like. And, you know, is it realistic to pull football out and keep the other sports under the NCAA?
And, Nicole, he points out, and it's pretty obvious, the changing of the guard when you consider all of the new commissioners. The point's also been made by him and others that the NCAA is looking for a new chief. So what does all that mean based on the people with whom you talk, including George, about where we are right now in terms of the people being more amenable to change than perhaps any time in modern history.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to think about it. I think also you have a lot of perspectives, and especially, you know, George Klafkoff and Kevin Warren, we've talked about this so much since they've taken over, but you're taking people who didn't spend their whole careers in college sports. So there's certainly people who've been in this world for decades and believe that, you know, things should be done the way that they always have, or that there's just, you know, a level of bureaucracy or red tape or slow-moving subcommittees that have always kind of been part of the process and the way that things eventually happened or were decided. But you also have a lot of people who want to modernize the system, want to preserve the entity that is college sports, and are going to be more creative about the way that they do that. And I think a lot of what George has said since he took over with the Pac-12 is, well, why do you have to do it that way? And a lot of times the answer he's gotten is because that's the way it's always been done. So when you have him and Jim Phillips, obviously he's worked in college sports a long, long time, but he is new to the commissioner chair. But you have these guys who are saying, let's see how we could pull football out. Yes, we know we'd have to create, you know, an organization that would do rules and enforcement. You'd have to staff different things, but why not look at it? Why not reimagine where we are in college sports to preserve it, make sure that it exists 5, 10, 15 years from now, even if it's going to look different. So I think that's what's really the most important point here is with that turnover at that level, you have new voices in the room and you have people that are coming at things creatively or more outside of the box than anyone has ever done it before. And they're figuring, why not? Why not right now? You're under, you know, you've got an interesting legal environment that you're in. You have this transformation committee trying to reimagine what does Division I look like? What are the minimum standards that are going to be set? So why not throw bigger ideas out there and look at them? And so George Klafkoff is absolutely one of those voices. But obviously, we're going to have a new Big 12 commissioner. You're going to have a new NCAA president. So the idea of fresh voices, perspective, and perhaps more creative or people who live in uncomfortability a little bit easier than a lot of people who worked in NCAA circles in the past, those are all going to be pretty big issues, again, as you're kind of shaping what the future of college sports looks like, and especially the future of major college football.
Nicole, before you go, Klafkoff was very critical around this time, well, not around this time last year because he was just coming in, but later, about what he learned upon taking over about what had gone into or what had not gone into the CFP expansion. So where is he now in getting this band back together again? You mentioned the meeting coming up this weekend. It seems like that is just hanging out there. Not that it's urgent considering what they did, but where are we?
Yeah, I think we all know that they're going to have to start tackling these issues again. We know it doesn't have to be unanimous to break contracts and that they're starting essentially from scratch for 2026 on. But we also know that CFP board chair Mark Keenum, the president of Mississippi State, he would like them to have this wrapped up by next year. And so at some point, they're going to have to start working through the issues that they were not able to get through as we went through, 8-9 months of meetings this last go around. I sat outside all of them. So George Klafkoff said, and he said he attended this meeting, this was before he officially started, but that he deeply regrets that we announced the potential format without having the approval of everyone that needed to approve it. He said that he thinks they could have gotten to expansion had they just worked out the issues and then announced it. And, you know, that's something he has said. We've heard it said from Jim Phillips along these same lines that, you know, it was the rollout, right? It was backing people into a certain situation when they weren't part of a working group that had 2 years to vet something. And again, we can have the same conversations that they have had, right, about, well, you have working groups to work through details and then present things. But we also know new voices in the room, new perspectives, leagues feeling like that they weren't in the room deciding something important and working through all the details on the front end. That was a factor in this process. So I think, you know, the way that George Klafkoff outlined the next steps now are addressing some of those holdups. I mean, Jim Phillips was pushing for a 365-day review of college football, how the calendar works, you know, even the ramp-up period and preseason camp and the structure of the recruiting calendar, just looking at the sport and the way that it is structured from January 1st to December 31st, that is something that they are trying to get feedback on. So he's talking about hopefully getting more of that feedback and conversation this week when the commissioners meet. But then there's other issues about revenue. There's also the bowls that have their own contracts. And so he kind of walked through all of those steps and then said the end, the step five is announcing it. And we did step five first, and that was the mistake. So I think, you know, I think there's definitely a willingness on a lot of these parties to get back to the table, work again, and go through these issues without, again, have the pressure of unanimity. But I do think these are real issues that need to be resolved. People do need to work together, and they need to work together because they have to, because there's nothing that rolls over. It doesn't immediately stay a 14 playoff. So they're going to eventually have to get to this, and they're going to have to start working through it or setting some parameters on when they want to start and tackle different issues if they want to get to the point of presenting and approving a model next spring or summer.
Pretty amazing stuff. Nicole, so great to have you on. So informative, and you just know all these characters. So we hope to continue this. Thank you for making time. I know you've been traveling a lot lately. We will hopefully talk to you very soon.
Absolutely. Anytime. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Nicole. Nicole Auerbach joining us from The Athletic. So that's where we begin today on this Monday holiday edition. We're not immune from doing the normal things, though. You can give us a ring at 855-242-7285 right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
So we are back, and we'll update you on everything happening in Omaha. The Aggies with a do-or-die win yesterday against the Longhorns. We got Stanford and Auburn playing right now. Stanford leading 2-0. And tonight, Ole Miss and Arkansas on the other side of the bracket. You can figure it out. The winner of the first game moves on. And you want to keep winning. You get a day off while the loser's bracket. And, of course, A&M plays tomorrow. On to football, which is one of our main deals. So we're talking about the quarterback rooms right now. Who's got the best one? Anybody want to take a wild guess?
Bama.
Yeah, Bama. I think you're right. Bama has the best one. And there's some other ones that aren't bad, by the way. You know, don't blame me. I'm just the I just play the organ here. Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, Georgia, and LSU. That's you know what's interesting about that. Yeah, I mean, LSU. Can somebody explain to me? We don't even know who the quarterback at LSU is going to be, but that doesn't mean they don't have a bad room. They do have a bad room. They got the big transfer over from where was that? Arizona State. They've got Daniels. They got transfers from A&M. They've got transfers from everywhere, but it's still incomplete. And we'll talk to the author of this article a little bit later about how he came up with that. So a lot of things to digest. The king of the NIL, you will meet him here later. It's not someone you would normally think. So we'll talk to we'll talk to Raekwon Smith from Norfolk State. Would you have had Raekwon in your office pool?
No.
I think I did. And let's put this out. I'm surprised we haven't already gotten some reaction on the air on this one. And we'll let this marinate for a minute and see who wants to give us a ring. Name the best atmosphere in college sports. Now, it's a little bit tricky, but I think you know where we're going here. So what is the best – what's the best place you've ever been, Randy?
College sports?
Yeah, college sports. Yeah, I'm waiting for an answer here. We'll give it a second. We'll let the phones regenerate here. So the best atmosphere in college sports. So that doesn't just mean football. You could have baseball, and there's some pretty amazing ones in baseball. It could be basketball, where I think probably Cameron Indoor,
yeah.
other than Mike Krzyzewski's farewell.
Yeah.
That was still a pretty good atmosphere. Football, what would it be? I'll just start talking to myself here.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I think the one that will probably win, not that this is a competition, is a night game in Tiger Stadium. I remember a number of years ago, I was doing a book, and the editor, just typical grizzled New Yorker. Hey, well, we'll come down here and see what you guys are talking about. I said, okay. So I gave him Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge for the Alabama game. Of course, I didn't know my schedule very well. It turned out that the game was in Tuscaloosa that year. And he did come down for it. It was pretty amazing. But I don't think the game in Tuscaloosa is quite the same as the game in Tiger Stadium. I just think let's just leave it at football for a second. You got Tiger Stadium. I would argue Auburn is I wouldn't say it's underrated, but I would match, if I think about all the events that I've been to in my career, I might rank the pregame buildup to the Iron Bowl in 1989 as the most frenzied atmosphere I have ever seen. Now, some of you are going like, why? 1989? Well, here's why that was significant. That was the first time the Iron Bowl had ever been played in Jordan-Hare Stadium. Until then, it had been at Legion Field or Montgomery or Columbus, Georgia, or somewhere else. I'll defer to some other people who were there, but it seemed like 90 minutes before the game, the crowd started to chant and cheer, and it never ended until after the game when Auburn had upset an undefeated and number 2 ranked Alabama Crimson Tide. I have been other places where I was probably more I'll never forget my first trip to Notre Dame, trip to Norman or even Lincoln for games. I've seen the Johnny Manziel game in 13 between Alabama. The rematch was truly startling. I have been to games in Athens that were breathtaking, Florida Field, my own alma mater. I've seen some pretty amazing games there, but I'm just rambling on. It's a personal experience. You can go to the best stadium on the wrong day. You can go to a game at Tiger Stadium when the team is 3-7, and it may not quite reach like last year, even though the game was in Tuscaloosa. The year before, what was the year that was it? The year before when Auburn was it? Did Auburn go into? Was it in Tiger Stadium or in Auburn? I can't remember. Where they just put a pounding on the defending national champs. Let's go to Andre first in Atlanta. Hello, Andre.
Coach Paul Feinbaum, as always, Coach. Listen, first of all, it was a great interview with Nicole Auerbach, but you should have told her. You and I know the players down here in the SEC. This conference would never, and I put emphasis on never, accept a czar. It won't. I know it, and you know it. Yeah. They'll never accept a czar over this conference. You know, the SEC is not in the business of doing what's best for college football. They're in the business of doing what's best for the Southeastern Conference. That's how this conference got to be where it is. Now, man, I was at the game. Me and my wife went to Tuscaloosa 4 years ago when LSU came to town. And we went into the stadium. I had never been to Bryant-Denny, but it was an amazing atmosphere. The president was there.
Oh, yeah.
But when we came out of the stadium, those folks were hot. They were smoking like a 38 revolver on Saturday night, Coach. They were hot. But if Les Miles had been the coach, Alabama would have walked us down. They would have, because he would have gotten the lead.
Yeah, Andre, what year was it? I'm trying to remember. Was it 14 or 15 when – I can't remember. The game would have been in Baton – I think it was in Baton Rouge when LSU had the game won against Alabama and somehow Les managed to blow. It may have even gone to overtime. Do you remember the game I'm talking about?
I think it was 14. But yeah. See, Les Miles.
I still see the vomit from Les Miles on the goal line of him choking that game.
Coach, we went to Chick-fil-A. We went to the Chick-fil-A Bowl, me and my wife, and it was LSU and Clemson. And there was 2 minutes left. I told my wife, let's get on the train. LSU got it. By the time we got to the end of the Martin station at Indian Creek, they were telling us LSU lost the game.
Yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah, Les Miles choked it away. But if you got Odell on one side, Jarvis Landry on the other side, and then you got Kenny Hillion in the backfield, and Les Miles won't even throw the ball. Man, he lost the game.
Les had by the way, my favorite Les Miles choke job was really in it's always been one of my favorite games. It was in 2012 because I was standing on the sideline and again, LSU I think was about to cross the 50 with a lead against Alabama, who was undefeated, and I can't remember what happened, a penalty. but anyway, they ended up, it's 10 years, I think they missed the field goal. I can't remember, or maybe they got I'll have to go back and look at the game. And then you remember what happened? There was the famous T.J. Yelding swing pass for 60 or 70 yards. And he ran right past me. I literally could have tackled him, and there's Les over there. Like raising his hands, like, how did that happen?
Coach, you should have pulled a Woody Hayes and went on out there tackling. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we could do a 30 for 30 on Les Miles choke jobs. And by the way, I apologize. That was not the best use of language to say that he vomited. He regurgitated. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Let's get right back to your phone calls here at 855-242-7285. We're here all day. We understand it's a holiday, and we certainly appreciate some of you who are home today that maybe aren't normally home at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but we appreciate you being a part of the show. Tom is in South Carolina. Hello, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Good. You know, the default thought on where's the best venue in the SEC, we always think of football. But, hey, what about women's basketball at the University of South Carolina and Dawn Staley, who's just captured five regular season championships, 6 SEC tournament titles, 3 Final Fours, 2 NCAA national championships, 7 Sweet 16 appearances, 5 SC Player of the Year awards.
Okay, I'll buy. You sold me. What is it going to cost me? I'll pay anything.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. I mean, I'll tell you another one that I would put. I mean, if you're putting a I have to do this before I go game at Bud Walton. They're especially now. You go back 25 years with Nolan or any game under. Some of those. What were they? Who was it? They beat Auburn. They beat somebody else this year. It was insanity. I mean, absolutely insane what was going on. Yeah, Kentucky. It was at least 2 weeks in a row when they had upsets over highly regarded teams that were just about as crazy as anything I've ever seen. But there are a lot of greats. This is an endless conversation, but there are tremendous baseball environments, softball environments. And by the way, did you catch any of that from in Columbia, South Carolina? How many did we cut him off before he told us how many regular season games they've won there? Okay. Stuart is up next in Dallas. So hello, Stuart.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for what you do and been doing for so long.
Thank you.
I used to go through Alabama on my way to Eastern North Carolina, and I'd pick you up in Western Mississippi and all the way to Georgia, and just loved your show. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much for
saying that. I wanted to weigh in on your topic of the best atmosphere in college sports. I would say Lincoln, Nebraska.
Wow.
379 consecutive sellouts, 60 years, started in 1962. And just the way they treat the opposing fans and the opposing team by giving them a standing ovation when they leave the field. And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you so much,
Paul. Stuart, I went out there for the first time right at the beginning of my career, and Auburn was playing Nebraska. I believe it was 1981, one of the first real big road trips I took as a writer. And a bunch of us went to a restaurant the night before. It's one of these places that everybody goes to. And I was with, you know, probably about 10 sports writers. I'd say all 10 were, you know, about as hammered as you would be at a Hank Jr. concert. And I can't remember who started, but somebody like was egging another guy on to get up and just scream out "Boomer Sooner." And I think one of them did. And the place, it wasn't even, you know, you would have, at some places you would have gotten killed, but the audience looked like get away. I mean, that's déclassé. Anyway, let's continue. Mark is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Mark.
Paul, let me give you my two top venues, and then I want to get into what I really called about. The number one venue is no question is riding the train from Birmingham to New Orleans and going to Baton Rouge for a Saturday night game.
Ooh,
and then the Grove at Ole Miss is number two. And nothing else comes close. Everything else is in a different time zone, time warp, whatever. But what I called you about was if you were watching the Texas A&M baseball broadcast last night, the announcers pointed out that Texas A&M had transferred in NIL probably got paid to come 15 or 18 of their players. And I noticed that one of them was an All-American at Stanford and another was an All-American at Arizona State in baseball. And they transferred to Texas A&M, which has, you know, they're okay. But if I was going to transfer into the conference for baseball, it wouldn't be to, it'd be to Mississippi State or LSU, not Texas A&M. And I want to know how many of those players they bought. How many they paid through NIL. It looked to me like it was worse than signing players.
You're going to get in trouble with Ross Bjork, the athletic director.
I don't care.
He's going to write you up.
could care less. I'm just asking you, can you look in to how many players
you know,
in
I did not realize that. Schlossberg's a new coach. He's a sharp guy. Came over from TCU where he had amazing success. If he was that great, he would have been winning World Series at TCU and not leaving to go to A&M. He got to Omaha. Hey, thank you. I don't know the answer. It's a good question, though. Do you know the answer?
Absolutely not.
Texas A&M, I mean, could they be buying everything?
They got oil money.
Where oil prices are right now.
Just saying. Just.
Maryland is up next in Georgia. Hello, Maryland.
Hey there, Paul. I think the most exciting crowd and game I ever attended, and I'm old, so I've attended a lot, was at the World's Greatest Cocktail Party on November the 8th, 1980, which happened to be my birthday.
That was quite a day.
And Georgia was number two, Florida was number 20, Florida was winning by 1 point, there was 1 minute left, and the Gators were going crazy. And then Buck Blue flew to through to Lindsey Scott, made the touchdown, and then the Georgia people went crazy. It was just an amazing crowd and game.
Yeah, Marilyn, you always leave something out when you talk about the greatest moments in SEC history, but that is clearly on anyone's top five list. It was important for a lot of reasons, but it helped Georgia win the national championship. Without that play, they would not have won the title.
Right, absolutely. And, Paul, let me tell you this little funny. My father was holding my two-year-old daughter, and the Gator students had their heads under this long Gator, and they were walking around the stadium, and the Gator was coming toward us, and it scared my daughter. So Daddy left with about 3 minutes left in the game, and he missed the big play.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, by the way, that is fantastic. There's a book in this, and everybody's done it. The greatest moments you've never seen because you left the game early. just right there. People that left, I did it myself once. I was at an Auburn LSU game, and I'm trying to remember. Oh yeah, Auburn was losing by 3 touchdowns or more, and Curly Hallman was the LSU coach. Remember him? Saw Curly about 3 years ago in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and I'll defer to an Auburn fan or an LSU fan to remember this. I guess this is in the 90s sometime. And I had an engagement that night, and Auburn's down by 3 touchdowns. Sorry, I've got to get out of here, okay? LSU threw, I believe, 3 straight interceptions for touchdowns or something like that. And Auburn won the game. And by the way, half the stadium, but the stadium had emptied or was emptying. But leaving before the Lindsey Scott, that's like leaving before the Billy Cannon punt return in the late 50s at LSU. I mean, you missed maybe the most famous play. There's so many moments like that. But that's really an interesting that would be an interesting collection of personal anecdotes. There we are. Show's over. We thank you for being a part of it. We will continue with much more right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back here on this Monday. Glad you're with us. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Jonah is up next in Florida. Hello, Jonah.
Hey, Paul. How's everything doing right now?
Very well. Thank you.
So I'm here like a week ago for a vacation this summer, and me and my boy Hunter are having an argument. He's a big Georgia fan. You know, Everett can't be perfect. And I had a take that people are calling me crazy for. I had to put it on Twitter. I said Billy Napier will win a national championship before Kirby wins another, because I believe that Kirby got lucky. This was his year. He caught lightning in a bottle, 2 injuries, a down college football, Ohio State, Clemson were down. And now I feel like Billy Napier's going to build something special. I don't think Georgia will ever win it. One again. I think it will be another 40 years. What do you think about that?
Yeah, Jonah, I appreciate good, healthy debates with your friends, especially on vacation. A couple of quick questions here. Are you wagering anything on this?
I mean, I think Billy Napier will win a championship, but I don't know if he will, so that's why I wouldn't wager, but I just don't think Kirby will win another. That's more of the point.
Yeah, so, Joni, your friend, you believe Kirby's overrated. He got lucky, right?
I believe he's overrated. I'll give him this. He's a great recruiter, great coach. He built Georgia back from a program that I feel was mediocre for a good 15 years under Mark Richt, you know, kind of like we've been. I'm not going to lie. And I feel like he caught lightning in a bottle. I think Alabama, I think Ohio State, you got to look at an A&M now, USC. I just think Georgia got their lucky year.
Okay, so let's try to do this. I don't know if I use the Socratic method or not. I might. I've always wanted to use that. I'll ask you some questions, okay?
Yes, sir.
Tell me the best quality of Billy Napier.
I believe he's – everyone what I hear is methodical. Methodical, and he's like a CEO. He's got his hands on everything. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite thing about him so far.
So if I'm asking you your best shot, you're telling me – you're trying to sell somebody from outer space on what makes him so great – It's the fact that he's methodical?
Like, I feel like he's got his hands on everything, you know, okay. And I feel like he's a great CEO, and that's what you need in college football. He's a Kirby Smart type guy.
I'll continue with my classroom exercise here. And to back up your point, Jonah, to give the court some evidence, what is your top exhibit, Exhibit A?
My top exhibit, so I look at Kamari Wilson. He was a 5-star, 4-star, depends on the site. A flip, he was a South commit to Georgia from what I've heard, a 5-day flip. I look at, there's an article on Sports mm-hmm. Illustrated. I don't remember who wrote it, but it was a great writer. And it was about all the stuff that Napier has his hands okay. in and how he runs the program.
Jonah, where's your friend's name?
Hunter.
And where is Hunter right now?
He is not here. The vacation's over. Okay. If you want me, I can add him to the call.
Well, would that take long?
Let's see.
Give it a shot. I mean, after all, we're live television here. We have nothing else to do. But I want to make sure. I'd like to try to get Hunter involved here, wouldn't you, Randy?
Absolutely.
Because I've got an important message to give to Hunter.
He's going to win this bet.
That I'm a crazy person?
No. You get Hunter on the phone, and I will deliver the verdict as soon as we get Hunter on. I presume you're calling Hunter right now? Okay, yeah, so we're waiting now for for Hunter to answer the phone. We've never done this before. Yeah, so we will, we're basically, we have a black screen up. I mean, nothing's happening here.
Oh, Hunter's on.
Hunter is not there?
Is he there? Hunter?
What up?
Okay, Hunter, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, this is Paul Feinbaum. I hope I'm not interrupting anything.
You're not. How are you?
Great. So, Hunter, Jonah tells me that you have had this debate about Kirby versus Billy Napier.
Yes.
Okay, we only have a few minutes. I've asked him for his I've asked him for his best reason why Billy Napier is better than Kirby Smart. Can you give me one more so on Kirby Smart or against Billy Napier that you would like to add to this debate before I issue the verdict?
He just broke up. I don't know what happened.
Okay.
He said his phone's dead. I'm sorry. But if you want me to, I can tell you what
I don't need. Jonah, listen, I don't need anything else. Okay, so let me just think about it. Randy, do you have an opinion before I deliver mine?
I think Jonah's out of his mind.
Okay. Randy said, Jonah, he thinks you're out of your mind. I do not agree with Randy at all.
I understand it's a hot take.
Jonah, you've already had your say. Be quiet.
Okay, I'm sorry, Paul.
Order in the court.
Where's the gavel? Order. After careful consideration of the evidence in this case, which you have laid out, Jonah, the court rules unanimously in favor of Hunter. Jonah, Your arguments were terrible. They were weak. They were despicable, to steal a phrase from Jimbo Fisher. And there is no way under this earth that somebody can say right now, with the evidence that we have, that Billy Napier is a better coach than Kirby Smart. You're out of order. And we are coming right back.